Are you a real estate investor looking to sharpen your skills?
Or a newbie
looking to become one? You're in the right place. Welcome to Where Should I Invest? Real Estate Investing in Canada with your host, Sarah Larby.
Hey, this is Sarah Larby. You are listening to Where Should I Invest? And today we are speaking about bookkeeping and getting your paperwork in order. And for those of you that know me, you know this is probably my least favorite thing to do out of all the real estate things. But my good friend Gabby Barnes is on today, and she is my bookkeeper for a lot of my private real estate and has started helping us with our midterm rental property stuff as well. So if you guys are interested in understanding how, you know, you can strategically get some write-offs as much as possible and make as much money back or pay less taxes legally, this is going to be a great bookkeeping 101 for you. And a bookkeeper really definitely helps get at least everything in order so that you can work with an accountant to go ahead and submit the taxes at that point in time. And the more complex your portfolio becomes, the more complex and the more you'll likely need a bookkeeper. And I'll tell you, I've had a few of them throughout the years, and Gabby is a great one. But there's also many times where you've got bookkeepers that are disasters. I've had to fire bookkeepers in the past, and I've had great bookkeepers that, for whatever reason, you know, moved on to different things. And so I lost them along the way too. So it is a hard thing to find a good bookkeeper. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. The other thing is we have some upcoming events. We have an open house at Inspire Beach Resort June 2nd. Check out inspirebeachresort.com for more information. It's going to be a barbecue. You can come hang out and network. There is no cost, but we do ask to register so we can figure out how much food and how much to let Chef Mark know to make food-wise. That's at Inspire Beach Resort. And then we have a golf tournament. And if you are not a golfer like me, don't worry. This is best ball. And we are going to golf, aka also network and have a drink in our hands and enjoy the weather. That is June 13th. And that is in the afternoon. So check out midtermrentalproperties.com and go to the events section to find out more about the golf tournaments. On that note, the one last thing I would just say is obviously things are harder for investors and entrepreneurs than they have ever been. And the latest announcement by the Liberal governments, and you know, it's almost like that nail in the coffin for many. But I think that regardless, there is, even though right now they're not so open for business, we have to deal with this government for the next year and a half. And I know many of us are angry. Chances are stuff like this will be reversed. I know they had a, you know, for a tax piece when you sell a property and capital gains. At one point, I think, you know, years ago, that was at, you know, 75%, and they brought it back down. So I would just say, hang in there. Look, these are all long-term plays. And, you know, the other thing is just spitballing with a friend of mine, Gary Hibbert, that was even suggesting, like, if you sell something and you don't want to be paying the, you know, extra capital gains on top of that $250,000, well, what about a VTB? You can offer a VTB in $250,000 chunks. Anyways, that is literally just a five-minute conversation. But as more and more comes about this new capital gains tax and the increase from 50% to 75% above that $250,000 mark. And by the way, if you have a corporate, if your properties are in corporations, then you're basically paying that on the first dollar. But I will say, here's the thing, is the more that we understand, the more that we know, the more resourceful we can get. So, you know, keep in mind, we're real estate investors. It doesn't have to be meaning that we're going to be only in Canada forever. We can diversify. We can also strategically plan how, you know, if you have a sale, how that would even look like. And literally in 5 minutes, we're like, okay, what about doing a vendor take back option and doing that, like, to defer the tax piece? So again, I'm sure more information will come, more strategies will come, but as, you know, these hurdles are coming around, obviously this government currently doesn't like us, right? They don't really like real estate investors or landlords, you know, and they don't understand that we are vital parts of the economy and providing rental properties, because some people just, for whatever reason, cannot qualify for a mortgage, do not want to own a property. They want to rent. Like, there's many things. So guys, don't give up. I know it's frustrating. I think that was a big blow to many when that announcement came out a couple days ago, but it is not like we will not find another solution, right? We will be resourceful. You will be resourceful. And if it means not selling for a couple years, so be it, right? I think this, something like this will likely be reversed once they see the consequences of what's going to happen to the rental market. So, you know, Maybe we'll have another podcast on that. But I would just say, you know, there's lots of things that are happening, especially in the last 2 years, that, you know, cards are not stacked in our favor as much as they had been, you know, the past 10 years prior. And so we just have to be, and you just have to be resourceful and like, just look at this as a long-term play. And, you know, things are going to happen along the way, like these new capital gains increases, but they can't stay in power forever. So let's hope that the next election, things do change. So on that note, guys, you know, hang in there. We are resourceful. There's many things that you can do to still create income, and you will be okay. So enjoy the podcast today. And if you have any questions, sarah@sarahlarby.com is my email. Cheers.
Gabby, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you on. So those of you listening, I don't know if anybody knows this, but Gabby has been my bookkeeper, tax preparer for a few years now, and longtime friend for, I would say, what, 20 years?
Yeah, it's like you're getting old. Sorry, we are. It's honest. I'm just following what it is.
You know? 20 years, yeah.
You look great, though, you know?
And for those of you that know me, you know I absolutely am allergic to papers and paperwork and receipts. And like, it just gives me anxiety. I don't get anxiety often, but all that stuff, just, I love, you know, the sales and the transactions and the deals. And when it comes to the bookkeeping, I will say I'm glad that you took it over. And, you know, before I found you, there were great bookkeepers, and there were bookkeepers that are, you know, very hit and miss along those years. And it's also a lot of personal information as well. So you got to trust your bookkeepers. But let's talk about a little bit about you and how you got into it. And we'll go from there.
Sure. So originally, I started out in criminology. So I did a lot of kind of nonprofit work within that realm. And a lot of it came down to things like budgeting for like a nonprofit center. So I kind of learned how to get the numbers together. Could you forecast a budget for this event or this camp? And so I had to start working with numbers a lot. My husband as well had a dog walking business in Toronto. So lo and behold, before I knew I was doing it, I was bookkeeping. I started keeping receipts. But I will say this, when we first started, we were naive, we were ignorant, and we were as green as the St. Patty's Day parade. We just didn't know, because having a business is a massive, all-encompassing situation. And nor do I think everybody should know everything that's in a business. Unless you've gone to school and done a business degree and you've done an accounting degree, there is a plethora of knowledge to have in that area. So it can be overwhelming, it's daunting, and you're not alone when it comes to taxes, but you gotta do them. So how do you prepare yourself to succeed?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I will also add, you are a real estate investor.
I am.
And your forte is helping real estate investors as well decipher that stuff, because as investors, there's a whole lot of stuff. And like, sometimes we have conversations like, hey, did you know that you can write this off or that off? I'm like, no, actually, some very unique stuff that, you know, you wouldn't know unless this is your, you know, you live and breathe this, like you in this case.
Yeah. And I like to learn, and I like to know, you know, there are credits and there are expenses you can use. And why would you give more money to the government, respectfully? I mean, I know we have to pay our dues, but with the way this country is going with inflation and increased carbon taxes and a lot of money's leaving the country, how do you provide yourself and your family and your loved ones with a good, like a good future? What do you do to get ahead? What do you do to save your money? How do you invest accordingly to be able to have something to retire on? Because I think a lot of us, especially myself, I'm 43, how do I navigate the future? How do I prepare for myself? And it's something that comes down to having an onus to do it and being responsible and learning as you go. Because like I said, it is a vast sea of knowledge when you're in the accounting field and the tax world.
Yeah. And you know what? It just makes me angry every time I have to give extra money to the government, because they already take so much.
So much.
And we work our asses off to be able to do what we do. And, you know, being an entrepreneur, a real estate investor, I mean, we're taking those risks. And so you got to keep what you can in your pocket, you know, do it the legal way. So maybe just share a little bit of like what your processes are. Like if, you know, as a real estate investor, somebody coming to you, you know, what are some of the things that you do for them or with them to help them?
Okay. So one thing I did was I originally started, so I did nonprofit, and then I got into accounts payable when I finished my diploma in accounting. And I really didn't enjoy it, but that was when I noticed when you see bills, arrears and interest. Like if things are late, you're costing yourself money. Sometimes you can expense them, but you know, when you're looking at CRA and you have to make installments, let's say for HST, if you're not paying on time, all those arrears and interest, your money you've literally taken and flushed down the toilet instead of kept in your pocket. So that's the first conversation. I have a client I'm working with right now, and she has quite a large business, but she's behind on her payroll remittances. And I said, number one phone call, get on the horn. And it's not something you want to do, but if you have a good relationship with the CRA and you keep your ducks in a row, it makes your life easier. So that's number one. Two, and I cannot emphasize this enough, if you get a receipt, do not throw it out. Do not throw out your receipts. Keep a hard copy of everything. And this is a conversation we've had too, right? Like, do you have a copy of that? And you can't just use a bank statement, because if you ever have an assessment or you're audited, they're going to throw it out if you don't have a hard copy of something. So just keep it. Even if you don't know, I like to play the game with clients. Get a bucket, throw it in, chuck it in the bucket is what I like to say. And I'll go through. And if it's a silly expense, like a dog toy, sorry, maybe it was a gift for a client, who knows, and you can expense it. But keeping a copy of everything is key to success. Mm-hmm. Educating people as we go through, why would you know everything about finance? I mean, you know a plethora about investing, right? But I come to the table, we sit, we break bread, we have wine, and we talk. I'm like, hey, did you know about this credit? Did you know that you should be deducting this? It's also financial planning. So don't just look at the year at hand. Look at 2 years, look at 5 years. Maybe you had a year where you had really good income. Let's say post-COVID, you didn't have crappy tenants that you couldn't evict, and you didn't have holes in your walls, and you didn't have, you know, fill in the blanks. So if you made a lot of money 1 year, that might be the year to drive up expenses to bring down your gross income, because you're just going to put yourself in a higher tax bracket and pay more. Don't put things off if they can fall into a good timeline for you. I think that's also an idea, keeping up with your properties, because, you know, you want to do an assessment. We were looking, we had to get a fence fixed. So that was, you know, over $1,000. Now we're looking at having to get an arborist come for a tree. That could be $4,000. So was it a good year? Was it a good year to do it? How crucial is it? What's your timeline? A lot of things get missed. A lot of people don't know about expenses. So having a really good detailed checklist of what you need, a lot of the time people think, well, I don't know about my small office business or my, you know, using an office at home. What can you deduct? What utilities can you deduct? What office expenses did you have? Or are they going to be like a capital cost? We have to talk about that. So sometimes it's a direct expense, and sometimes it's a big item that gets deducted over years. But some people think, oh, I only made $100,000, but I spent $50,000 in this. Well, it may not mean that it drives down your income to 15. It could be that we have to do, you know, they have to break things down over time with capital costs. And you need to know about these things, because if you're trying to plan and know where your money is and what to do with it, I think it's a really important factor.
Absolutely. So keep receipts of everything. And so let's just say, you know, I'm a new investor. Like, do we, you know, start a spreadsheet? Do we work on QuickBooks? Like, what's the best way, for example, if they're like, the first thing they want to do is hire out a bookkeeping service in order to, you know, get everything organized for that accounting piece for their accountant? What are right. some of those simple things? So obviously keep a copy of everything. What else?
I think the first thing is to sit down and get a scope of the business, because every business will vary. Last year I was working at a firm and I filed several hundred returns, and it was actually really beneficial for me, because I saw realtors, I saw financial investors, I saw farmers, I saw real estate investors. And I'd start looking at the different forms within the returns, going, how can they do this, but this person didn't do this? And I'd ask a plethora of questions. And that's really important. If you don't know, ask. Don't ever feel dumb or belittled if you don't know, because we're all on a journey to learn together and work together. I think that is such an important factor, to be able to ask questions, say, I just don't know, because there's something I could use. And it might be no, but if it's yes, boom, you just, you know, money in your pocket. Spreadsheets are good. Some people don't like doing computers and some people don't want to be around them. So at that point, like you said, I have access to your accounts, and that is a really big breach of trust, let's say. I mean, going into your personal bank accounts, going into credit card statements, all of your utilities. So having someone that you can work with that you know is responsible and reliable and trustworthy is key, because there are a lot of people, and we've had some good people mm-hmm. in the past, and then I've seen some other things where I'm like, why did you have to pay 3 times this? You're like, well, I had an idiot mess it up. Well, it's going to happen. Every field has incompetent people. So I think just keeping receipts and understanding what you can put in, that's the number one thing that I have clients say. I thought it was a write-off. I thought it could, mm-hmm. a lot of things are cost of living now. Many years ago for realtors, they'd let them write off like hair and nail and clothing and stuff. Like, they could get away with that. You could sweep it through. And now it's all deemed cost of living. And I had a client say, well, you know, my haircuts are fair game. I'm like, sorry, champ, like we all have to get haircuts. So little things like that, or someone had a gym membership and said, well, can I write that off? I'm like, that's your choice. That's cost of living. That's not within your realm of business. That's not, I mean, there's so many things now that you're not allowed. I mean, I think a gym membership should be, because it increases health and mental health and everything else that goes with it. But Trudeau doesn't think so. So it's one of those things where you need to learn the rules and learn to play the game and get creative while you do it. There are a lot of things that I notice with people that are missing, right? So I talk to people and they're like, well, I thought I could do that, or I thought I could write this off or write that off. you know, office utility, like having a small home office for your business, all of your utilities use a percentage of your home versus the percentage of your office. So your water heater, your electricity, your water, your gas, all those things. If you have a cell phone, if you have the internet, all these things add up to bring money back into your pocket. And that's a really big thing. A huge thing. One of the biggest things I find people miss is mileage logs. People don't understand about vehicular expenses, right? So, I mean, do you drive a lot? That's another conversation to have to set people up. If you're only using your car a bit, we'll do flat rate mileage. Just make sure you have a log of where you went and when. But if you're using your car like you do, where you're driving it for podcasts and you're doing events with students and you're all over, you know, download an app because it will track every single place you go. Not only do you get you, you know, the mileage, repairs on your car washes, your gas, all the expenses that go into a car, you get to write off a larger percentage, money in your pocket. So once again, it's learning to play the game, kind of understanding what to do. Like I said earlier, tax installments. If you have arrears and penalties and interest, once again, you've thrown money down, you've literally flushed money down the toilet and you've given it back to the government. People don't always know about professional fees. So a bookkeeper, you can write off. That's an expense that you could use saying, have a bookkeeper. And I will say here, and I am not a CPA. I commend anyone that has gone that depth of knowledge because it is a very vast sea of knowledge to have. But having a bookkeeper can really drive down your accounting costs because what you're going to pay an hour for a bookkeeper to have everything in tow versus an accountant, it's a vast difference. So keeps you organized. A big thing too that I notice people miss are advertising and promotional expenses. So how can you use that to your benefit? How can you reward your workers and have an expense that keeps them employed? You don't want to have to rehire good workers because of competition and the market is fierce right now. Like everyone's kind of job hunting and job hopping and trying to find something bigger and better. And if you can keep really good workers, you're ahead of the game. You don't have to retrain and waste time and money with that. And you have loyal workers. So what can you do in that respect as far as, you know, is having that. And with a tax prep, aside from business, I mean, things like medical expenses, people don't even think to keep medical expenses. So there are rules with that, with your 3% net income. I won't bore you with that. But, you know, when you sit down with someone, I worked with a friend who is down the road and she has an at-home business doing hairdressing and styling. And I said, well, you just did a small renovation. So that's the repairs and maintenance. You can use all of those. What? Yeah, you can write off as an expense. You just fixed up your space and, you know, keeping track of her Reliance water heater because you're washing hair. Like this is, but she had no idea. And she had always paid for her business. And I prepped last year for her and she got a really solid return. And she said, I want you from here on out. Like, you know, the field. And it's seeing, like I said, hundreds of returns and learning from them in different areas of business.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of stuff that can be written off. And I think, like you said, there's some changes in rules of things that, and you know, the last thing that any of us want to do is get audited because that's a lot of time and effort and work.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like working with you, like from my experience, so basically I hand you my, I hire you because I don't like the stuff and you do a great job and I'm not good at it either. But I give you essentially, you come and actually pick up my folders with all my receipts and then I forward you stuff as well. But you put like in your system, you put everything there in, you know, the back end and the software so that should something happen, everything is actually at your tips, which I think is a big thing because if I think as we do this, we should always know that like right now, I think the government is looking closer at like real estate investors and and people that are entrepreneurs and that kind of stuff. And so I think it's just a matter of when. And can you walk us through, you know, because maybe some of us haven't, you know, really heard the experiences, but what happens if you get audited? Like you get a paper, how long do you have? Yeah. Like walk us through what that process looks like.
And now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
Hi, this is Dahlia, founder of Streetwise Mortgages and Streetwise Wealth. Should I wait for interest rates to drop before I get back into real estate investing? This has been one of the most frequently asked questions that I've been getting for the past month and a half. And I decided to put together this video to help answer this question for you, but to also provide you with very specific numbers for you to think about to come to your own conclusions. Firstly, let's start with an important question. And the question is, what is it that we know today that we are not sure about for the past year? Well, we know that inflation is finally under control here in Canada, and the last reading came in at 2.9, which is close to where the Bank of Canada wants to see it before considering rate cuts. They know that inflation is currently being pushed by shelter costs, including real estate selling, rental prices and mortgage costs. And this is actually very important. They have acknowledged that shelter costs are likely not to decrease because of the high demand for real estate. And they're actually ready to move on. Here's the exact quote by the Bank of Canada's governor saying, "We've got to look at the whole economy, not just housing. The Bank of Canada targets CPI inflation and shelter is just one of eight components. Hence, if average core inflation dips well into the 2% range, rising shelter costs should not derail rate cuts." Guys, honestly, this is huge for all of us in the real estate industry. The last year, I know, a year and a half, actually, felt like we are walking around with a target on our backs, and that the Bank of Canada and the government organization are actively and deliberately trying to break the real estate industry. At least the Bank of Canada is now ready to move on, and they are giving up on waiting for a further cool down in the property values or rents. The cool down we've just gone through, in my view, was super artificial and is driven by high interest rates. Even though the underlying demand is high due to the population growth and the chronic undersupply that we all know about in the housing market. You know what? Even if we park this high demand and undersupply potential price explosion for a second, let's say it's all neutral, we still know that historically, anytime interest rates decrease, prices start to go up. It's just a fact. So now, whether interest rates cuts happen in April or June or later in the year, everyone is sure at this point that cuts will start this year. Now, let's look at some specific numbers on what that looks like. If you were to find a rental property today, let's say at $600,000 to buy, and you get an 80% mortgage at a 6.9 interest rate, variable rate, and it takes a full year for that interest rate to actually drop down by 1%, you would pay about $5,000 more in mortgage interest versus having waited for that 1% drop. However, while you're waiting, as soon as the first rate cut comes in, prices can easily rise by 5% during that first year. That is an extra, are you ready, $32,000 in price. So if you wait, you are risking paying an extra $32,000 in order to maybe save $5,000 in interest. And that interest, as a real estate investor, you get to write off anyway as an interest expense. I personally believe we may see a much bigger pop in values than the 5% given the pent-up demand that we've had for many years now. Listen, I'm not saying that every market is the same and every market is going to appreciate or all investments are cash flowing. I get it. Things have been tough. So getting into a property with a negative cash flow is not easy. But I'm honestly heartbroken as I'm seeing investors today passing on some amazing opportunities that are already cash flowing at higher interest rates because they want to wait for this rate drop. I am happy to show you guys some opportunities like rent-to-own opportunities that I'm seeing investors pass on and that are generating $800 to $1,000 a month today. Imagine what that cash flow would look like once the rates start to drop. The takeaway: taking advantage of short-term or adjustable rate mortgages can let you as a savvy investor lock into properties now before rents and home values move out of reach. When economic conditions improve, as an investor, you can then refinance and see your cash flow increase. Please, everyone, do yourself a favor. If you're coming across cash flowing opportunities today or even cash flow neutral opportunities today, jump. This is the time to jump. Rents are going to go up from here. Rates are going to go down from here. These opportunities will be cash flowing beautifully in a year or two. And you may not be able to find them or afford them in a year or two. This is the time to make a move. Shield yourself from the negative news and the media and look at the data and look at history. This is the time investors build wealth and build cash flow. It's when everyone is fearful. If you have questions, if you're looking for a second opinion, if you want to look at cash flowing opportunities, if you want to bounce ideas off us, reach out. info@streetwisemortgages.com.
And now back to the show.
Sure. So here's an example of a firm I was working at previously, a couple of years ago. There was someone who was a financial advisor and he does very well, $500,000 income a year. But he would say, oh, don't worry, I know this, I've got this. You know, and he created his own spreadsheet in Excel. Well, he didn't do it properly and he didn't have copies. And I said, I need a hard copy. So it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. File it. Well, it was a private return. So we did. And sure enough, bing, he gets an assessment. So an assessment is where you have to prove the details, as opposed to an audit where that's more corporation-based, where they go really in-depth and you have to have your financial statements and everything backed. And I would advise having a CPA do that, but I do the groundwork before that. You usually have, I believe it's about 30 days to comply and have everything in. So your first concern is, do you have your ducks in a row? Do you have all of your details scanned? Do you have a spreadsheet? Do you have your financial statements? Because you're going to, with the tax return, you're going to have to send in your T1 jacket. If it's not a corporation, it's T2 for corporate, but you're going to want to have that. You literally have to go through and number and list everything. So all of your receipts, one through whatever for maintenance repairs, all your vehicle expenses. It's a very extensive situation and it has a lot of, you're going to pay a lot in arrears if you don't have it, a lot of interest. Calling the CPA would be, calling your CPA is important. Call CRA though. If you ever have something like that, sometimes you can get extensions. And I've seen that happen a lot. They're not as horrible as you think to work with. They have the rules to follow. But it's going in prepared, because another thing is I would upload everything digitally. I would have a copy of everything saved, because from last year, they can go back 7 years in your returns. So if they find something they don't like, you better have 7 years of prepared, details. We had a personal experience years ago when my husband had the dog walking business and I thought, I'll throw it in, it's fine. And our person was great, who was doing our taxes at the time, but she wasn't not paranoid, but as concerned as I am about keep a copy. And we got flagged. And because I didn't have a proper detailed mileage log and I didn't have hard copies of her cell phone receipts, I had to call Rogers and I had to pay $2 a copy for 2 years. It ended up being $96, which is a lot of money. Like, that's a dinner at the keg. You know what I mean? You can get a nice steak and a Billy Minor pie for that. Like, why would you waste your time and money? So a digital copy is important and keeping it for the 7 year period. And I just think it's staying on top of it, because we all slip and life is busy, but you need to keep good, clean records, because they've got to be reliable. They've got to be timely. All the things that they talk about in accounting, mm-hmm. because it's going to turn your life into a headache and you're going to waste time and energy where you could be thriving your business, where you're playing catch up with Leah. And I think that can be so detrimental to a business.
What are some things that somebody can do? Like, is it just sitting down once a month, putting everything, are there systems that you would recommend somebody do? Is it daily? Because daily seems very daunting. Is it weekly? Is it once a month?
Here's what I would say daily, and I say this to my clients. If you buy something and you have a receipt, let's say you have to do a small reno on your real estate investment, right? Take a picture of it, send it to yourself and say, for this property rent or repairs and maintenance. Because if you lose that, the other thing is carbon receipts, you lose the ink on them. So if you think your carbon receipts are going to be tickety-boo and you go back 7 years and there's nothing, you can't validate your expenses. And that's scary because you've spent the money to do it. So then somehow you have to try and track down, go through your finances, get through your credit card, call the companies, and there's going to be major expenses and time with that. Take a picture of everything you buy right away and email it to yourself. That's one really good way of just tracking small receipts. You could go in monthly and you probably should to do utilities, especially for rental properties. I like to personally put on an old movie around the holidays or early January. We're all tired. We're familyed out. We've seen too many people and we need to isolate for a bit and just hibernate. I put on an old classic I like and I just like clockwork. I go through and I pull all my utility bills and I save them and I start my spreadsheet. If you don't want to do that, something that people can take on your behalf to go into your accounts, print a PDF, make sure you have a proper copy. Some people do screen grabs. The reality is it may not be sufficient. It may not be enough for what the CRA is going to ask of you. So I would always have a hard copy of all of your bills and expenses. Sorting through, even just having a file folder. Like, this is something I started with you years ago. I said, if it's for this property, slam it in there. I remember getting a box from you, when you first started.
I used to be so organized now.
You know what?
But it used to legit be a box.
Yeah, I remember showing up the first time to Sarah. I'm just going to throw you over to the bus.
No, it's all good.
You're a mastermind for educating and knowledge in the real estate field, but you can't do it all. You're one person. You're not a robot. You're not AI. You need to sleep and eat and have some joy in your life. So I remember coming up and you had boxes and you're like, I don't know. And I remember taking this thing going, okay, And I sorted and I sorted compulsively. And I came back 2 weeks later with color duotakes. And I said, okay, this is this property. This is this property. This is your incorporated. And I remember you just going, how did you know that? I'm like, I sorted. I figured it out. And I asked a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. If I don't know, I've got resources. I've got mentors I talk to. And it's an ongoing learning game because there's going to be new credits that are brought in. There's going to be things, you know, new tax brackets. Like, it's an ever-changing game when it comes to taxes. So I think the biggest thing I can say is keep your receipts and try and take a digital copy just in case, like especially for Home Hardware, Home Depot, Canadian Tire, for stuff like that, that's going to fade. If you get a printed invoice from construction or from your plumber, usually they're a much more sturdy copy. But yeah, I just think not being afraid of it, ask questions. There's always someone that can answer your question. If you don't know or I don't know, I'm going to get the answer. I'm not going to stop because I want to see the money go back to you. That's my big concern.
Yeah. And I think, you know, having a bookkeeper that's the same bookkeeper like every single year is also helpful because you'll likely have, you know, some history from prior and you'll be able to go off of that. You have the, like, even just like, obviously you have access to all of my stuff, including my bank accounts. I mean, we've known each other for so long. And I think, you know, you guys just be decide if you want to be comfortable with your, whoever your bookkeeper is on that piece. But so like, it's, to me, the less I have to physically have to organize with that stuff, the better. So like, I think it's just easier because like you go into get the utility bills as an example, right? From the different utility accounts. So I think it's just a matter of like, if somebody wants to be completely hands off, like I'm sure there's like different tiers, right? Of like how you work with different investors.
Yeah. And that's one thing. There was a client I was working with recently and he's, you know, he's feeling frustrated. He's like, oh, I went to my accountant and there's so much more I need. And I said, well, you're going to have your incorporation papers. That's non-negotiable. They have to set you up when they're working on that. They're going to have, you know, when you talk about lawyer's fees and buying, there are outlay fees. There are expenses that go into that. There are realtor fees. You have to have a hard copy. And that if there's one thing that anyone takes away, it might seem like Captain Obvious, but keep your receipts. Keep everything just in case and have a digital upload just in case. Because like I said, it can go back quite a ways. And one thing that I really like is it's teaching people and it's not being confused or arrogant because I mean, I'm by all means not the all-knowing. And it's like I said, this is one of the most vast venues that you can get into when it comes to accounting and bookkeeping, but it's learning and helping and training. And like, I've seen huge improvements with what you've given me or even organizational files or, hey, I've threw this in this year. And it's learning, right? You work with the person because you shouldn't know all this unless you had parents that were in business. I mean, my parents were music teachers. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten out of a bad pinch with CRA by hopping on and doing a recorder solo. Like it just, they weren't life skills. I didn't know how to renovate a property. I've had to learn these things. And there's a lot online you can use. CRA is great. The thing about CRA is when you go online to get details, it's almost like deciphering a code from a serial killer, right? It's like trying to deconstruct a sonnet from Shakespeare. It's lofty, it's wordy, it's exhaustive, and it's taxing, pun intended. It's a really frustrating place to be. And sometimes you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, what does the subsection say? Or is this privy even to, is it personal tax or is it corporate tax? There are a lot of things to have to deconstruct. So I really think asking questions to your bookkeeper and to your accountant are huge beneficial factors. And having someone you can bounce ideas off with, like, you need to be open-minded for your time frame. I don't turn my phone off. I may mute it, you know, in the evening if I have a movie, but being available kind of morning, day and night and weekends because people are working a lot. People are working irregular schedules. People are working more like two jobs. Mm-hmm. So you have to be there to be able to help them go through and navigate murky waters and doing it in small bites. Like I don't come through like any, this isn't this. Like I'll say, okay, I'm going to work on one property. Then I'll write and say, hey, could you go to the bank? It's this bank, subtract it. I need your mortgage interest for the year. So we have that expense. Could you please call your insurance company, which I just got, for your different properties to break down what you paid. The other thing too is some people don't realize when you have a corporation, it may not be a January to December year end. So if that means we're picking it up April 1st till March 31st, the first quarter of the year from year prior, I need to hang on to because, you know, it will carry over or same thing with this year. We need the first 3 months in 2024 and people submit and they just don't know. And a lot of people that do bookkeeping or accounting, they don't really call and say, hey, like they'll give you a reminder about I need this, but they don't necessarily give you all the details to plan to ease your stress level with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it gets complicated, right? As you have properties, as you have businesses, as you have corporations. And so, you know, I think it's not just about forgetting it, even though, you know, if you're like me, you probably do want to forget about it and then just have to deal with it once. But it is just about like staying on top of it. I think it, you know, worst comes to worst on a monthly basis, right? Where you're like taking a look and like you're sending off, you know, or you're filing or however the system is, you know, pick one, pick it. Like
Because the other thing too is some people have, you know, and again, guilty, you know, at some point, but like there's paper copies of things and then there's digital copies of things. So
right.
You've got to sort all that stuff out and add it all out. So it's, you know, on one form and one spot. And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. What are you seeing nowadays with, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of people are in a tougher situation where they, you know, now are not making as much cash flow. What are you seeing from a bookkeeping standpoint? Are there, you know, recommended options that they can maybe you tell me, but I think there's just a lot less cash flow now. So there's a lot less income.
And now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors.
This week's podcast is brought to you by usproperties.ca. Are you looking to invest in turnkey U.S. real estate that provides exceptional cash flow and appreciation? If so, reach out to James at james@usproperties.ca or visit the company website, usproperties.ca, for more information.
And now back to the show.
Let's go back a couple of years. COVID annihilated everybody. Unless you had a foolproof job that was recession-proof, like my parents really didn't suffer because they were teachers and they had locked in income. They had done it for a while. A lot of people aren't in that boat. A huge difference now is inflation, right? Canada's now in multi-trillion dollar deficit. So, I mean, things at the interest rate, for example, right? If you're not locked in for a mortgage right now, you're looking at over 7%. If you were, it could be 5.5%. Or if you're lucky and you had locked in prior, you could be much lower. But it's small things like that to be aware of or cognizant of. And people would rather, one thing I notice is a lot of people are burying their head in the sand. They're pulling the ostrich. I can't emphasize enough, don't do that. Educate yourself and fight for your money. Like, this is your money. This is your well-being, to report, be aggressive. But I get really upset for people because I want to see them put up a fight. I want to see them succeed. And I think the one thing I'm really seeing, and I know someone who's in bankruptcy, like who works in bankruptcy, there are a lot of businesses that have collapsed during COVID. I think the CEBA loans were a great idea to carry over, but you know, then you got to pay them back and where's the money going to come from? And you've had your business shut down or you've had tenants. I mean, they shut down a lot of courts and we were really badly impacted with COVID. We had a lot happen for infection and death in the family. We had just gotten a rental property and they had been sick. And it was a perfect storm of chaos. Mm-hmm. So I really think COVID kind of hit the edge of chaos for a lot of people. And we're still rebounding. And now with the carbon tax going up again on April 1st, another, I believe it's 23%, that's going to annihilate a lot of things. Same. You need to be proactive, right? It's going to affect transportation, which means it's going to affect everything you're importing, including groceries. It's going to affect your utility bills. Well, if someone gets a $10,200 raise, it is what it is. But, you know, let's pray for an election. So when you look at people that are in a business, how do you help them succeed? You know, are you using all of the expenses you can use? Is there a better way to wait till next year? Can that expense wait? Because if you're really struggling, what do you want to do with your money? Do you need to work more? That's an honest question. Most people are working more than one job. So it may not be the time to invest. I know a lot of people want to expand their portfolios, but you know, there are a lot of people that are still waiting to go to court and get their money back from poor tenants. And that's another thing. How do you safeguard yourself in every possible way to succeed? And I think we're in a very different time right now with inflation. We're mid-recession. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. There was an article recently in the London Free Press about, you know, the number of homes that had gone up where people weren't able to pay for, you know, their mortgages in the first quarter. And it's daunting. It's going through the roof. People cannot afford to live or eat. You know, the CEO of Kellogg was excited that people are having cereal for dinner. Shame on you. Shame on you. Well, Gill and Weston, you know, gets another $6 million bonus. People can't put food on the table for their family. So what do we do? How do we make things work? How do we get creative with expenses? Now, I'm not saying it's illegal, but there are a lot of ways that you and I have spoken about to get very creative with expenses and to come out ahead and know how to make things work in your favor. And I think learning these, you know, tricks of the trade per se are really beneficial. And so you should. It's your business. You should want to invest. So I think to break it down easily, I think you need to ask questions about the business, number one, and talk to the person, say, where are you? How far behind are you? Because please hear me. There are a lot of you out there that are not alone. You are a year, 2 years, 3 years. I just, you know, I filed someone's taxes. I worked for the firm, but I did 8 years of returns for this person. 8 years they were behind. And they were frantic and they were just riddled with anxiety. And they were getting a lot of money back, tens of thousands of dollars, because they had no clue. So sometimes it's better to face the music. And even if you do owe it, once again, don't get behind with your penalties, because that interest literally is money you're flushing down the toilet that you can't use.
Interesting. 8 years. Yeah. I mean, it's that would be
Well, it's good that they got their money back. Yeah, I know somebody really else that was like 6 years and they got money back as well, but they just literally did the return after 6 years, which is a lot. It and, is. You know, and things can get very costly too, right? If you've got like multiple corporations and you've got, you know, your own personal stuff as well, like it's a lot of filing.
Yeah.
And those corp taxes are not cheap to do, to file. They're not. You know, and so there's a big piece there. So you got to get organized, or if you don't want to get organized, hire somebody that can do it on your behalf. So what are the services that you offer and where can we learn more about that?
Okay. So what I do is I realized that kind of my passion, because this is something I do as well, is prepping for taxes is number one. How do you prepare someone's taxes? How do you get all the details together? So that involves a conversation asking. And my real passion, to be honest, is working with people in real, like who have invested in real estate, because I want to see them do well. You're taking the initiative to invest for a better future. And I think that's incredibly admirable. You know, you're putting in the time, you're putting in the energy, and I mean, you want to do well, but how do you do that? What expenses do you need? How do you go about it? There's a lot of murky waters in that. So part of my, I think the skill set that I have is I've got bookkeeping. I've done taxation, I've done accounting, and I also have invested. So it kind of gives me a really broad spectrum of kind of a bird's eye view of, okay, I'm going to attack this from this, and I've got a good analytical mind. So a lot of the people that I work with usually are in a panic, and that it's very common. People haven't filed or they have a box of stuff. Like, you know, you referred someone to me a couple of years ago and they're like, I don't know, Gabby, here you go. And I came home with like a carload of four boxes and I brought it back and Ziploc baggies titled like, all medical, all professional fees, all office expenses, all of that. And they were like, oh my God. And they were almost in tears. They felt terribly. Like, it's a lot easier to help someone else move than move yourself, because you don't have to go through your own emotional clutter. So, you know, bookkeeping is definitely a big aspect of it to keep you in order. But just getting your ducks in a row, I think is the best thing I can do, is sit down with you and say, okay, where is your business? Where are you at with your tax returns? How far behind are you with your CRA remittances if you're a corporate? Because once again, you know, arrears are not, the penalties are not small that you're going to be paying. So I think it's preventative measures is what I like to say. I kind of come in and I'm like, all right, let's get on this before we get on that. Because, you know, there's someone else I'm working with and they're in the middle of a separation. They had to have financial documents because they had to see what their business was worth. And she said, here you go, here are my bank statements. I'm like, do you have, you know, receipts for this? And the number one thing I hear from clients is, oh, I thought it was a write-off. And don't feel embarrassed. You just didn't know. No one's educated you. And the government is just tightening and tightening their belt. Like I said, we're in a huge deficit now in Canada, and they're trying to recoup losses from CERB and SEBA, and more people are going bankrupt. The courts are inundated with backlogged bankruptcies, and that breaks my heart, because I think if someone had taken the time to sit down and say, maybe don't get that property yet, maybe let's get this paid down, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, overexpose yourself to financial difficulty. So I think organization is one, preparing and planning is another. Just discussion and education. I don't think most people understand what it entails to have clean books, expenses that you can use. And like I said, getting crafty, like you and I have talked about, there are ways to do it. I won't get into it all here, but there are a lot of ways that you can find expenses that work for you and can drive down gross income and cut up your expenses. You're in a lower tax bracket. You want to get money back. There are ways that you can do it and do it on a timely manner so that it plays well into your financial situation. And everybody's a different, we're all individuals in that respect, whether you have the money put in or the money owing. And so I think it's having a big picture. Another thing I'll say is when I look at people's, you know, a lot of the time they'll send me bank statements, and there's a reason the banks make billions on you. And I know that they're a very important resource. Don't get me wrong, but maybe you're not with the right, maybe you don't have the right account. And I see that a lot. Like, I was prepping someone's taxes and I said, do you know what, paid over $2,000 in fees? $2,000.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a trip, baby. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like Scooby-Doo when I just had to, you know, I was blown away. And I said, if you look at that, and then, you know, sometimes there are things, you know, I have a friend who had a Reliance water heater and they were getting charged through the teeth. And I said, why don't you try and buy one this year and put it towards a capital cost or write it down, because you're going to save in the next 5 years, we'd probably save you $1,000.
Yeah, I always buy them out. I like, well, Reliance is not one of my favorite companies, that's for sure. But
amen, I know. Yeah, bring the rage, but I won't use my obscenities on. But I'm sure you can, you know, choose a couple at home. We've all been there. But that's the thing. But is that a good time? It may not be this year. Maybe you have too much catch up. So maybe you do get a return, and that's what you're going to pound down to get yourself ahead. Use your returns wisely. Like, Really be pragmatic with money. Do you need it or do you want it? And we're in a hard time where you just can't, I don't think you can have as many luxuries.
Yeah.
I think you have to be cognizant. Are you bringing your, it's small things. Like this is how we got ahead. My husband and I had great debt. I went to university and he had an injury and we were almost $90,000 in debt. And that's daunting. That was when I was in my 20s. And I thought, oh my God, I'll never dig myself out. I don't want that credit. I want to be able to buy a property. I mean, every week in the mail, we're getting, hey, expand your credit line. You can get more on this. And I don't want it. I mean, we have enough. We're fine. But I think setting yourself up for financial success is key, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other benefit about keeping your books in order is, what if you do need to borrow money? What if you need to borrow money and you're a corporation? You need to have your financial statements ready to go into a bank for loans and to, so it works in your favor to be ready. There's a cartoon movie years ago and there's, you know, they're saying be prepared. So that's something, be prepared for what's coming next.
Yeah. Well, even just refinancing or purchasing new acquisitions, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Gabby, do you cover all of Canada? Like, can you do that? Like, can you help people across, like, from coast to coast, or are you mostly just Ontario?
I would prefer just to stick with Ontarians right now, just because of the taxing varies. So I've got my head wrapped around HST. And the other thing is CPA has just disbanded. There's been some major things that have happened last year. And to be honest, I'm not up to ball. I'm not up to par on everything that's happened. I'm not on the ball with that. So Ontario is kind of my hub for knowledge. And I'd also like to keep it local because if I do have to pick up, I don't want to be jet setting day. I mean, you can always do digital, but it's a lot easier to kind of stay around Burlington, Oakville, GTA kind of stuff, or, you know, Southern Ontario where I'm located. So, but I hop in my car and I go and I track my mileage and, you know, I write off my meal at 50% because I'm in the car and that's another thing you do. So it's learning all these things that you don't, you know, people get a sandwich and I mean, if you go and get a combo at, you know, Subway right now, it's subpar food, it's mediocre, but you're also getting a little thing at Subway. But you're also going to
By the way, guys, Gabby's second career is stand-up comedy.
You have to have a sense of humor in this day and age to not blow a gasket, to be honest. And, you know, there has to be humor. And that's one thing that other people have said to me. You know, you bring a lot of levity to it. Well, we're all human beings and we're all just trying to survive. And I think you have to be, you know, people, when they heard I was doing this years ago, going back to school as an adult, which might I add as a caveat, was one of the best things I've ever done because I think there's a lot of ego in business. And I think to a degree there needs to be. But I also think you need to be humble. And if you don't know, ask. I cannot tell you how many times I was in a college class and my hand went flying up and the teacher's like, what don't, and by 2 weeks in, all the profs knew my name. And I'd be like, nope, didn't catch that. Walk me through that one more time. And I was deconstructing information in business classes and finance classes and math classes because I thought, okay, you need to use this dummy. You need to figure this out because it's not, you know, memorizing and just, you know, being able to regurgitate. How do you proactively learn this to use it? And there's a lot that I was able to really take in and use. But when people heard that I was doing accounting, like, you're going to be a bean counter? Like, you're going to, and I thought, yeah, I am. Because one, I can make it fun. Two, I can take off stress. And you have to find the humor. Like, you know, I had a client, he's lovely, but he's, you know, he doesn't know. He just doesn't know. He works different businesses. And he's like, hey, can I use my dog as an expense? Sorry. Yeah, my buddy in the States says, what is your dog doing? He has a dog food company. I'm like, okay, so slightly different ballpark. And that's within his realm. But I said, no, but you could do this and this for this painting or, you know, for this business for painting, or you could do this for this business with your real estate investment. But you have to learn what works within your parameter of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Ontario, mostly within the GTA and within what, a 2 hour radius, give or take of that. You're down towards the London area. Okay. So then the last thing I want to ask you before we wrap up is cash. When people say, well, let's do a cash deal, let's pay this person in cash. Like, you know, what is the downside of that? And is there any upside to it?
Right. So it's a loaded question, right? Because who doesn't want to get cash and avoid, you know, I mean, it is tax avoidance. You have to be, one, you have to be careful. Two, if you have a corporation and you're drawing money to pay someone, that looks like a shareholder withdrawal. So you're going to get taxed on the money you've pulled, even though you have an expense because you don't have a receipt. So you have to be careful in that way because you can end up driving up your own income and not knowing it. I would try and get a receipt for almost everything because if you make $100,000, right? And then you only have $10,000 of expenses, you made $90,000 and that's going to put you up several tax brackets. You're going to pay more. But, you know, if you start writing off every little nitty gritty detail, you're going to bring it down and you could see a rebate or a return. So I think it's really key. Now, here's an example. When I bought a rental property, we had a hoarder who lived there. It was quite, pictures could have a sense. It was quite the tear down that we had to do. It was, you know, it's memorable. We laugh about it now in the hazmat suits and the masks. But I looked at the cost of bins because this person had left so much garbage in their house. We had to fill 8x16. Like, it was a behemoth amount of get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at what it was to cost it versus, so in a way, you know, I had a connection. And it was a lot better for me to just pay cash. So I paid cash to get rental bins because that was one thing. But I would, for 90% of the time, I would say it's best to get a hard copy, because if you're paying for something, you want to bring down your gross income. You don't want to be paying in that tax bracket. I would really try and have a hard copy receipt. The other thing that I like to do is talk to people about bartering, exchange skill sets. Mm-hmm. What can they do for you? What can you do for them? And I don't mean that in an appropriate way, or there's no euphemism meant for that, but you scratch my back, I'll, you know? So how can you help each other? You know, yeah. Are there things you could trade to help with businesses? Or if you want to do my framing, I can help with this, or you know what I mean? So there's mm-hmm. always ways to work around it for a business. But for the most part, you want to be legitimate. You don't want to be audited. You don't want to, and don't write things off. Be really careful, because I saw more and more of this with the firms. So many people are getting, you know, audited, or they're getting flagged. And one good thing is I can go through your finances. I can go through your bank statements and say, hey, I saw this and this. I bet you didn't know a year ago there was a staycation credit for a hotel. Let me see, you know, this person liked to wine and dine some ladies. He did well. He had nice cars and he had no clue. They said, I can use this and this, and it's going to drive down what you actually owe for that because of your personal taxes. So I think for the most part, though, you know, they're getting stickier and stickier with assessments and audits. Really have a hard copy of everything just in case.
Yeah, great advice. Great insights. Gabby, where can my listeners reach out to you? And if they want to connect with you, what's the best spot?
Absolutely. So usually I like to do word of mouth, because I like to try and stay in the niche category of realtor investing. That's kind of my hub, my interest, my passion.
Investors, real estate investors.
Yeah, real estate investors, because I think there are a lot of things that are missed. And when I see more and more returns, I flag them. And so I just use my personal email. So it's GabrielleFEBarnes@gmail.com. So, and we can put that up as well and information at the bottom. But reach out to me that way, and then we can set up a phone consultation. And it might just be a short consultation. You may have questions. We could do a very short meeting for, you know, and it'll lowball. The one thing I will say about bookkeeping, a benefit is if you have someone that does bookkeeping for you hourly, it's a lot less than an accountant. And you really should have a CPA filing your details. It's going to save you a lot of grief. But that being said, have someone prepare it so that they do the nitty gritty work for a lot less money. Because I know, especially with a firm, we get boxes of stuff and they pay now. And I mean, I'm talking thousands just for the organizing and the calculations, and you can do it for a lot less if you're proactive.
Perfect. Do you mind spelling out your email so people can take a pen and write that
Not
down?
Not at all. So it's Gabrielle, GabrielleFEBarnes@gmail.com.
Awesome. Gabby, thank you so much for being on the show, and thanks for being my bookkeeper, keeping me organized.
Thank you, Sarah.
Last few years, I don't know how many years you've been doing it, but I've had great ones before you, and I had horrible ones before you, and now you're amazing, and you make my life a lot simpler and easier. And bookkeeping's a big part of it, right? Because
it is.
If we don't have to be spending extra money and giving away money to the government who's already printing it, and we are already questioning a lot of where it's going, let's keep our hard-earned money as much as we can legally, and you know, work with those professionals. So Gabby, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
Thanks so much for listening to Where Should I Invest with your host, Sarah Larby. Make sure to listen in next time. We'll catch you on the next episode of Where Should I Invest?